From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Wade Menezes. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome again to Open Line here on EWTN, the Global Catholic Radio Network. We are very blessed to be with you today. You know, we do something different each and every day at this time. There's a different host, and today's host is our very good friend, Father Wade Menezes. How are you, Padre?
Doing great, Tom. I hope you're doing the same.
I am, and we're very glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Here's our phone number if you have a question for Father Wade, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Outside North America, please dial 1 and then 205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and then text us your first name and your brief question. Message and data rates may apply. If you'd like to shoot us an email, the address for that, openline@ewtn.com, openline@ewtn.com. Be sure you put either Father Wade in the subject line or Tuesday in the subject line. That way we can do a little mixing and matching. And Father, I know that today you want to talk about St. Padre Pio, certainly a priest for our times, right?
That's absolutely correct. You know, yesterday was his feast day, September 23rd, on the church's calendar here in the United States. And so I want to give a shout out to my brother, who's a permanent deacon, Deacon Lane Menezes. It was his seventh year anniversary as a permanent deacon yesterday when he was ordained in 2017 on St. Padre Pio's feast day, September 23rd. So a shout out to Deacon Lane. And Padre Pio is, just as you said, Tom, a priest for our times. And so I want to talk about him. You know, he was born of poor parents in Pietrelcina, Italy. Francisco, the future Padre Pio, entered the Capuchin order at the age of 16, taking the name of Pio, or in English, Pius. We think of the popes that were named Pius, right? In Italian, it would be Pio. In 1918, he received the visible stigmata, the wounds of Christ. For the next 50 years, pilgrims flocked to the Capuchin convent of San Giovanni Rotondo, where Padre Pio reconciled many to Christ in the confessional through the sacrament of reconciliation. Holy Confession. He likewise bore physical sufferings and continual scrutiny in trusting himself to Our Lady of Grace, whom he would call my little blessed mother, quote, end quote. He was a famous confessor, renowned for his understanding of the spiritual life and of the struggle, the many struggles that human beings face. He was always there for anyone who needed him, and he enjoyed the grace of reading remorseful hearts within the sacrament of reconciliation. This is precisely why his collect prayer reads at the beginning of Mass for his Mass on his feast day, quote, and by means of his ministry, renewed the wonders of your mercy, O God. Huh? Padre Pio was fond of quoting St. Augustine in this regard, my past, O Lord, to your mercy, my present to your love, and my future to your divine providence. Huh? He was also well known for saying this, pray, hope, and don't worry. He often consoled others with this phrase. He would also say, worry is useless. God is merciful, and he will hear your prayer. Regarding the stigmata he bore, Tom, he once was accused by some of being an imposter and was asked by church officials not to celebrate Mass for several years. He obediently complied, and he was exonerated with the passing of time. Thousands of miracles have been attributed to him. He died in 1968, so in that sense, he really is one of our own contemporaries. Pope John Paul II, now saint himself, beatified Padre Pio in 1999, and the same pope canonized him in 2002. Padre Pio once said, Tom, quote, you must speak to Jesus not only with your lips, but also with your heart. Actually, on certain occasions, you should speak only with your heart, to him. How beautiful is that? So Padre Pio, again, was born Francesco to poor farm workers in Pietrelcina, Italy, and from a young age, he longed to become a Capuchin priest. This is kind of a funny anecdote. When his father asked him one day when he was a young boy, why do you want to be a Capuchin specifically? The young boy answered his father, I like their beards. You know, his father traveled to America to earn the money to support his young son's vocation. And in 1903, Pio took the Capuchin habit, and he was ordained 7 years later. Again, from 1918 to his death in 1968, Padre Pio bore the visible stigmata, the wounds of Christ, a gift he prayed to have removed, but finally accepted from God. His fame spread widely, and with this came suspicion, false accusations, and repeated investigations by the Holy Office in Rome. In the midst of all of this, he once said, quote, "It is under the cross that one learns to live," end quote. It is under the cross that one learns to live. This renowned confessor and stigmatist was called a living image of Christ, suffering and risen, by Pope John Paul II. Again, Pope John Paul II called St. Padre Pio a renowned stigmatist who was a living image of Christ suffering and risen. Worth noting is that the young Capuchin friar first received the visible wounds of Christ in 1918 after first offering himself in response to Pope Benedict XV's call for prayer precisely to end World War I. This is a little-known fact. I'm going to repeat it. Worth noting is that the young Capuchin friar first received the visible wounds of Christ, that is, his stigmata, in 1918 after first offering himself in response to Pope Benedict XV's call for prayer to end World War I. Then, for 50 years, he carried on his priestly ministry at San Giovanni Rotondo in Italy, celebrating Holy Mass and hearing many, many confessions, sometimes for up to 18 hours per day. Some estimate that because of hearing confessions for so many days for 18 hours a day, that it's quite possible that Padre Pio heard some 4 million confessions throughout his lifetime. You heard that correctly. 4 million confessions. He was a great advocate of monthly confession, if not more often. The whole goal of a monthly confession, or better, more often, is to have only venial sins to confess, right? And Padre Pio would often say, just as a room needs dusting frequently, even once a week, so should the soul go to confession. How beautiful is that? What a great analogy. I'm going to use that for homiletic fodder. Afflicted himself by many physical ailments, he still found the energy to establish what are called the Homes for the Relief of Suffering. Homes for the Relief of Suffering. And prayer groups to help sustain the homes spiritually that he founded for the suffering and their relief. So again, yesterday was St. Padre Pio's universal feast day, September 23rd. A truly, truly a priest for our times, if for no other reason than his great, great love for the Eucharist. We're still in the three-year Eucharistic revival. His great, great love for the sacrament of confession. His great, great love for souls and wanting to bring them healing from their wounds of their sins, wounds of their past, even if it wasn't sins, if it was more of a type of victimhood they suffered from at somebody else's expense, at another perpetrator's expense. They were welcomed by Padre Pio, and it is estimated that over 6 million pilgrims, even today, in 2024, the last statistics we have are from 2023, over 6 million pilgrims visit his shrine each year. Over 6 million pilgrims visit his shrine each year in San Giovanni Rotondo. So there you have it, a great priest who still is relevant today for our times in 2024, 24 years into the third millennium, as he was when he lived. Ordained in 1918 and died in 1968, we look to Padre Pio as a true, true herald of God's mercy, a true, true herald of forgiveness through God's mercy in the sacrament of confession, a great lover of the Eucharist, and he who is one of the great stigmatists of the church. So do you have a particular devotion to Saint Padre Pio and are listening right now live this hour on Open Line Tuesday here at EWTN Global Catholic Radio? Have you been to San Giovanni Rotondo? Have you visited Padre Pio's grave? Give us a call. Give us a witness about this great priest saint, this Capuchin friar priest saint in the life of our one holy Catholic and apostolic church, our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. We're talking about Padre Pio today. Maybe there's another saint who you have a particular devotion to. Maybe it's a namesake patron saint. Maybe it's not a namesake patron saint. Maybe it's a saint that you have a particular devotion to because of what that saint is known for, maybe for overcoming alcoholism. Give us a call here at Open Line Tuesday.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Great book for you, now available at EWTN's Religious Catalog, Practical Answers to Everyday Challenges by our good friend Dr. Ray Guarendi. Dr. Ray provides you with sound, practical, and spiritual wisdom and expertise as a clinical psychologist and father of 10. Dr. Ray addresses numerous issues such as what to do when children ask, why do we have to go to church when dad doesn't? What should I do with my when my adult children aren't living the faith? Had a conversation with a dear friend of ours just the other evening about that very topic. Much, much more available for you. And you can find that, again, at EWTN's Religious Catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. Practical Answers to Everyday Challenges by our good friend Dr. Ray Guarendi. To the phones we go, still two open phone lines for you. The number's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. First up today is Jamie in Midland, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Jamie, you're on with Father Wade Menezes.
Hi. I was calling to ask a question about if people are allowed to bless items. There was this lady when I came out of church, and she wanted to bless me with the cross that had been laid on the tomb of St. Francis. And then before I knew it, she was blessing me with an ointment that she said she blessed herself, that we're allowed to do that. And then the second part was my testimony about Padre Pio.
Okay, great. Well, I definitely want to hear about Padre Pio, and I want to attempt to answer your question about blessings. So such a blessing is not a priestly blessing, of course, from a priest. It's from a fellow lay person. You know, for example, lay people blessing lay people. For example, a parent blessing their child. A friend can surely impart a blessing over a friend, a lay friend, from one lay friend to another. In other words, there's no blood relation like there is between a parent and child. Like a parent blessing their child as they go off to college, or the father giving his final blessing to his daughter at her wedding mass after he leads her up the main aisle just before the mass actually begins with the matrimonial rite. He might impart his last fatherly blessing to his daughter by doing a simple sign of the cross with his right thumb on her forehead. I've seen that done before. And it was quite beautiful because the father and daughter, after he walked his daughter up the aisle, they did not kiss. There was no final kiss. She pulled back her veil just enough where she curtsied before her father, and he gave her his final blessing before her marriage with his right thumb and the sign of the cross on her forehead. Then he helped her back up, and then she brought her veil back forward. So it was very, very beautifully done, and it shows the power of authority, of office, For example, a parent praying for their children, an older sibling called to set the example for a younger sibling. There's a certain authority there when an older sibling prays for their younger sibling. How about a teacher over their pupils? That can be very powerful as well, because it's an authority that God respects in the hierarchy of institutions among human persons. But there can also be a blessing of friend to a friend. But just understand that it's not a blessing that one would receive from a priest, let's say, okay, or the episcopal blessing, let's say, from the bishop, all right? Deacons can bless sacramentals and articles, but as beautiful as those are, there's also a different degree of priestly blessing, and from the priestly blessing, there's also a different degree of the episcopal blessing. So we want to take that into account. But yes, one can bless another, and then as far as the holy oil goes, many shrines will have blessed by the priest, rector of the shrine, let's say, simple 100% vegetable oil or 100% olive oil or virgin olive oil. And it's meant to be a salve or an ointment as a sacramental. It is not any of the three major holy oils that are used for the sacraments, the sacred chrism, or the oil of the infirm, for example, that are used for the sacraments, or the oil of catechumens, say at confirmation, that's used at confirmation, oil of the sick for the infirm, or the sacred chrism as well for holy orders. It's not any of the three oils that are meant for the sacraments. It's simply a pious oil that's used for private devotion. And why is that? Well, we see in Scripture, for example, that oil is seen as a slippery substance. It's meant to call to mind that the devil doesn't have a grip on our life, right? He doesn't have a grip on our life when we use such pious practices, okay? And so these things can be sacramentals. If blessed by a priest, they can truly be sacramentals, and we're encouraged to use them. So we're just called to realize the differentiation of the different levels of hierarchy here when it comes to blessings and sacramentals, and also sacramentals versus the sacrament. So I want to urge you to look at the section on sacramentals in the Universal Catechism. It begins with paragraph number 1667, 1667. And it goes all the way through number 1679, number 1679. And then there's a second section just on blessings that can be found at number 2626 of the Universal Catechism, number 2626. And that will give you a really good and sound catechesis, both on blessings themselves and also on the use of such sacramentals. Does that help you out, Jamie?
Yes.
Great. And what is your wonderful story about Padre Pio?
Well, my memory's not great, but from what I remember, my niece went to Italy to visit his tomb and the tour that they take for that. And she came back with medals, and she made me this frame with a picture of Padre Pio and the medals that were blessed over there. And I think she said that she's an adopted daughter of Father Pio, so she did that. She explained for me how to do it too, and I think I did it as well. So asked him to adopt my family as well. For me, this is like, well, my faith, and as far as I've come close to God and Father Pio being in my life now, has saved me, because I think I was prepared. Mm. My son passed away about almost 2 months now.
Mm. I'm sorry to hear that.
So this has helped me. My faith has helped me. Me trusting in Jesus, not understanding, but trusting what has happened in my life right now.
Boy, you just gave a whole theological treatise. You says maybe not understanding, but trusting. And think of the mm-hmm. divine mercy image with the banner at our Lord's feet. Jesus, I trust in you, huh? And so this devotion, mm-hmm. as you said, to St. Padre Pio, in one sense, helped prepare you through the efforts of this other woman, this so-called daughter of Padre Pio. That's probably through a pious association that she's a member of, maybe a third order member of the Capuchins, for example. I'm presuming that's what she means by her daughterhood under the auspices or patronage of Padre Pio. What she was able to witness to you guided you at that tragic event of 2 months ago. So, Jamie, what a beautiful witness. I'm sure your call and how you've stated it have helped so many other people as well. Thank you so much. How are things in Midland, Texas? Are they going well?
They're okay. Prices are high, but it's okay.
Yes. Yeah, they're high all over. They're high all over, yes. All right. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate it. God bless you now.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next up is Darlene in the great state of Washington, listening on Divine Mercy Radio. Darlene, you're on with Father Wade Menezes.
Hi, Father Wade.
Hello, Darlene. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Well, I just wanted to let you know that I have been to Pietrasina. To Padre Pio's grave before they found out that he was incorrupt. But my deceased husband now, when he was really sick with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, his hands, the palms of his hands would be flaking and bleeding. And he said it felt like he had put his hands on hot coals on a fire. And he'd had it for months. And one day I just went in and prayed before the tabernacle and just pleaded with, you know, for healing. And I asked Padre Pio to help because he had the stigmata. And his hands were healed for 3 whole months.
Wow.
Gave him some relief.
Wow, praise God. Praise God. And what a grace to be able to go to Pietralcina and to view his body. And what a great thing that must have been for you as a Catholic to feed your devotion. Did you go privately as pilgrims or did you go with a pilgrimage group?
I went with a pilgrimage group.
Okay, wonderful.
So we covered a lot of territory, wonderful places I never would have been without their organizing and all the logistics and all.
That's wonderful, Darlene. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your call from Washington today. God bless you.
You're welcome.
833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Scott's up next in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Scott, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father.
Hello. How you doing there, Scott? Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Well, I've never called in to you guys before. I listen to to you guys all the time. I have a story about Padre Pio.
Okay, great. I want it to be a good witness. I want it to be a good witness story to witness to the other listeners.
Well, good. I hope it is. I went through a bad divorce, and I started drinking, and I ended up homeless. I lost everything. There was a devastating blow in my marriage that I couldn't handle. I started drinking, my brains out. I ended up homeless. I ended up in a place that my mother owned. There, everybody was done with me, you know, and I don't blame them. There was this book there, Padre Pio, and I asked him to get me out of my mess, or his help, you know. Help me out here. And I didn't even know who he was. But, you know, my mom loved him and whatever. I was a horrible Catholic. And I made it through this evening. And I was detoxing really bad. It was a deadly thing. I got through that. And I get out of that. And I became sober. And I always thanked Padre Pio. But then I got addicted to pain pills. These pain pills after a surgery. And that got really bad. Well, I remarried, still a struggling Catholic, married out of the church, all that stuff. So one night, Christmas Eve, I asked for a Padre Pio statue. I was in deep in addiction. I needed help. So I thought maybe his statue would help. It gets here Christmas Eve. I didn't open my gift yet. But when that package arrived, I got really, really sick.
Scott,
hold it right there, Scott. We will get to the rest of that story in just a moment. We'll also talk to Sandra, Michael, Mary, and there's plenty of time for your calls as well. The number is 833-288-EWTN. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
833-288-EWTN's our toll-free number. One open line for you at 833-288-3986. Congratulations going out to our longtime EWTN radio partners, Salt and Light Radio, serving the great state of Idaho with 9 AM and FM stations in both English and Spanish. They're celebrating 15 years as an EWTN affiliate. Congratulations to Keith Pettyjohn and his great team at Salt and Light Radio from your friends here at EWTN. We're talking to Scott in Cincinnati, Ohio, and he's given us one great story of how Padre Pio's intercession helped him, and he's kind of in the middle of a second story. Go right ahead, Scott.
Yes, hi. I'll try and be brief here. So I'm in the middle of this pain pill addiction. I asked for this statue. It came from Italy, Padre Pio statues, the little one. And it gets here, and everything just started to happen really funny. It was weird. Everything took a reverse effect with the pills. Like, you know, when you ask for his help, he doesn't play. He doesn't play around. He gets it done. Anyway, so I'm going through this struggle. Now all the pills are in a reverse effect. The more I take, the worse I felt. It was just like this bizarre situation. So time went on. I made a commitment to quit everything, and he helped me through it all. I cannot explain it. I cannot explain how we met, Padre Pio and I, but I read his book from Ruffin. Bernard Ruffin? And the thing is, when that statue arrived, everything changed. There were weird things happening, and how I could write a whole book on it. I know I'm going long on this, but I just want to tell everybody that he is wonderful. And my wife, my second wife, you know, we got married in the backyard marriage and everything. She was sort of anti-Catholic. She grew up Catholic, but she fell into the whole trap of the Catholic Church this and this and that. Well, anyway. Everything that she saw, my conversion, I had this Pentecost that I just quit all of my addictions because of his intercession. I know that for a fact. And, you know, he says, Padre Pio says, it wasn't me, it was Jesus, but he'll do you a favor. But anyway, my wife.
It's a very compelling story, Scott. Unfortunately, we've got full phone line, so we're going to get to some other folks. But thank you so much for that call today. Very edifying for all of us. 833-288-EWTN. Next up is Sandra in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, listening on St. Rose Radio. Sandra, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade. I wish you could come to Murfreesboro, too, because you're a very good preacher.
I can come to Murfreesboro, Tennessee. You all aren't far away. You just need to get your pastor to invite the Fathers of Mercy to come and preach, whether it's a day-long retreat for the parishioners, maybe a father-son retreat, mother-daughter retreat, married couples retreat, or a week-long parish mission. We also give, 3, 4, and 5-night missions. So be sure to tell your pastor, Sandra, to go to fathersofmercy.com. We would love to serve your parish church there in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. How can we help you today?
Well, I was telling him that I received a gift from New Orleans from somebody that liked Father Pio because I love my body.
Sure.
Those that you have with batteries.
Right, right.
And his chastity belt is on the wrong side. Is it okay to keep it like that?
You're talking about an electric votive candle versus a real candle, and if it's okay to use an electric votive candle, am I understanding you correctly?
But he has the chastity belt on the wrong side.
I'm not sure what you mean.
I don't know.
I know what you mean by chastity belt, but because your wording kind of broke up there with your connection, I'm not sure how the chastity belt.
The rope belt that he's got, like San Francesco, he's got it on the wrong side. somebody do the drawing the wrong way. But anyway, I love him.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
One of my favorite saints, you ask for favorite saint, is San Francisco de Assis. Can I tell you a little story about him?
St. Francis of Assisi?
He, my favorite saint, Father.
Okay, well, before you do that, your friend who painted the three knotted cord rope, which is part of the Capuchin habit that Padre Pio would have worn as a Capuchin, even though your friend painted it with the knots on the wrong side of Padre Pio's body in the painting, I'm sure Padre Pio doesn't mind, okay? I'm sure he doesn't mind at all. I'm sure that he's just happy that you have a devotion to Jesus through Padre Pio's holy intercession as one of the saints who has already attained the crown that does not wither, as St. Paul teaches. So don't let the painting bother you. As far as the votive lamp goes, that's electric or battery operated, whether it's electric or battery operated, I'm sure you've seen some churches that have an electric votive lamp series of artificial candles under the saint's image to one side of the Catholic Church, and they could be battery operated or they could be electric operated. Remember, it's not so much that it's a candle, it's more so that it's a votive light, meaning it inspires devotion. It's a votive lamp. Now, because our faith is alive and real and true, it is beautiful to have a real living flame, but sometimes we're not able to do that in Mass, with a bunch of them, I mean by that. We're not able to do that in Mass because of fire codes, for example. And so the parish church has the permission from the county to have the one real life living flame as the sanctuary lamp, signifying the real, true, and living presence of our Lord in the Eucharist. And so the sanctuary lamp hangs with a living, true flame next to the tabernacle, but then off to the sides in front of the saints' images, whether statues or portraits like of Our Lady of Guadalupe, you might see electric lamps or battery-operated lamps. That's okay. It's a votive lamp. It's a votive light. And in that sense, while the true living flame would be more ideal, in that case, we don't have it because of county fire codes or whatever, that's all right. But the church teaches that the sanctuary lamp, because it precisely signifies the real, true, and abiding presence of our Lord in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity, it needs to be a living, true flame. Now, that said, an individual priest or pastor can seek a dispensation from his bishop so that the sanctuary lamp as well is electric or battery operated, especially when the building, the church building itself, has a high significance of historical value. So for example, I know a parish church in the Central Valley in California, up near Stockton, that is right by railroad tracks. And so it uses, with the permission of a previous pastor and a previous bishop who granted this dispensation, it uses an electric votive lamp right next to the tabernacle. Why? Because the cargo trains go by at least two, if not three times a day, and the building rattles. And so it's more safe in that sense to have an electric lamp inside this historical building that's this little Spanish-style church than it is to have a living flame. And the priest periodically, at the time when he first got it, he catechized the people on that, so which was good on him. So with a proper dispensation from the bishop, one can have an electric votive lamp, even for the sanctuary lamp, properly speaking. So, okay, very, very quickly on St. Francis of Assisi, Sandra, because I did say at the end of the springboard, if not Padre Pio, maybe there's another saint you have a devotion to, but very quickly, because we've got a lot of callers waiting.
Well, you go with your caller, because my story comes from on the ocean, so it's going to be a little...
It'd be a little too long. Okay, well, it's great that you have such a strong devotion to St. Francis of Assisi. So the EWTN Franciscan friars would love to meet you because he's their patron saint. So God bless you so much, Sandra, and thank you so much for your question about the cord of Padre Pio's habit and also about the electric votolamp.
Michael's in Spokane, Washington. He's listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Michael, you're on with Father Wade.
Thank you both, and a beautiful sunny day here in Spokane. It's about 79 degrees, so brother come out and visit again sometime.
I would love to.
The women in Texas.
I would love to, Michael. It's a great retreat house that you all have there. Have you come to any of the Fathers of Mercy retreats that have been held there?
I know you were up a couple of years ago, yeah.
Okay, praise God, yep. Praise God. We'll keep a look at their schedule, because I know Father Ken Geraci, and I believe another one of my confreres is scheduled to go out there. What can we do for you, Michael?
Well, yeah, prayers for the woman in Texas who lost her son two months ago, but
yes.
I have a great devotion to Padre Pio, especially building the hospital in the middle of nowhere for the suffering and sick, and now everyone can go. There's no charge for his bilocation, for his care and deep care for the sick and the suffering. And he's helped me a number of times. I got the blessing of the relic on EWTN, but it's just wonderful to be a Catholic and wonderful to have Padre Pio.
You know, great point, Michael, about building that hospital, one of the homes for the relief of suffering that he built. I believe it might have even been the first one, and everybody thought he was crazy where he wanted to put it. But he ended up building it there, and it's one of the most prolific ones today as far as the number of persons that it takes care of. You know, when I hear about that story, two things about that. Number one, I think of Padre Pio being a trailblazer regarding the Ronald McDonald houses, which are places where the families can stay free of charge while they're nearby visiting their relatives, and or while the patient is recovering, can also be in the Ronald McDonald House. So I think Padre Pio was like ahead of his time. I know there's several country music stars that have built such homes near large hospitals to aid the family and or to aid in rehabilitation for patients in that regard. And when I hear about that, I think, you know what? Padre Pio really had foresight and forethought to be able to build such homes for the relief of those suffering and to also house their family members. That's just a great thing. And for times for the family members to be with them. So that's number one. Number two, I think of St. Jean-Marie Vianney, the great patron saint of parish priests. And I think since the year of priests, he's now one of the chief patron saints of priests just in general, if I'm not mistaken. Pope Benedict XVI declared him just the patron saint of priests while retaining his patronal sainthood of parish priests specifically. But regardless of that, you know, he heard so many confessions in ours at his little country parish, again, out in the middle of nowhere, that the city of Paris actually had to budget for and indeed built a train line, a brand new train line from Paris all the way to ours to accommodate the very, very large number of pilgrims who wanted to go to ours for what? To go to confession. Can you imagine a secular city today putting out the money to an out-of-the-way place because confessions are so numerous in this particular area for whatever reason? They're so numerous, whether because of the popularity of the confessors or whatever. The confessions are so numerous in this out-of-the-way area that the secular city is going to set aside budget monies to build a new track line to carry the very, very large number of penitents to go have their confessions heard. I mean, that's pretty awesome. But ours was out in the middle of nowhere, and Padre Pio wanted to build this home for the relief of suffering out in the middle of nowhere. So again, the saints, you know, the saints were radical. This is what John Paul II means when he says the saints were radical. They were rooted from the word radix in Latin. They were radical for Christ. They were rooted in Christ. And guess what being rooted in Christ makes you do sometimes? Things that don't seem sensible, like Mother Angelica, you know, starting this network out, you know, as a cloistered nun and feeling called to do that. That's just one example. So we all want to stay faithful to our Lord and stay in a state of grace and let Him work miracles within us. And that goes for the laity, that goes for priests, that goes for our religious, both active and contemplative. So Michael, thank you so much for your witness about, you just think it's great that he built the hospital in the middle of nowhere. Any closing comments, Michael?
Just keep praying, get to confession. God is love and mercy.
Amen, my brother. God bless you now. Take care.
You know, EWTN Radio offers the Chaplet of Divine Mercy every weekday morning at 5 a.m. Eastern Time. You can join Catholics from all over the world as we recall in prayer and devotion St. Faustina's revelations from our Lord and that beautiful devotion that he entrusted to her. That's the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, weekday mornings, 5 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on EWTN Radio. Next up is Mary in Rockford, Ontario, listening on the Amazon Echo. Mary, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade.
Hello, Mary. Thank you for your call.
Thank you. Sorry, this isn't about Padre Pio. It's another question. We've got a pastor in our parish, and when he's entering the church, usually in a hurry, does not bow or kneel before the tabernacle, or when getting the altar prepared, he kind of walks across without any notice of the tabernacle. How do I approach Father about this without seeming to admonish him? Because this isn't really a good example for the people besides
sure.
not receiving the presence of Jesus.
Sure. I'm a big advocate of approaching the person. I know I would want that done to me rather than have, say, a letter or a phone call. So when you think the moment is right, you might have to make an appointment with him to do this, what I'm about to describe, but maybe you'll be able to just ask him off to in the side aisle or back in the sacristy where there's some privacy. I would privately and charitably approach him on this subject and say, Father, you know, I see you a lot, and I know you're a busy man, and we thank you for what you do. But your reverence to the Blessed Sacrament sends volumes in regards to a reverent message in and of itself to your people. And, you know, I just want to encourage you. Don't say, I've noticed that you don't genuflect. Don't put it in the negative like that. Say, I just want to encourage you, Father, that when you pass directly in front of the Blessed Sacrament, not necessarily if you go off to the side, but if you pass directly in front of it, to give the sign of reverence, you know, preferably a genuflection or at least a waist bow if for some reason you're not able to kneel because of a bad knee, which is the truth, could be truthful for many, many people that are clerics, individuals, men who are clerics. Phrase in the positive, I just want to encourage you to do this. Because by your phrasing it that way, you're making it clear to him that you've noticed he's not doing that. You know, and the personal piety of the church and the rubrics of etiquette for the Mass, both in its preparation and in you know, the setting up for Mass, and for the Mass itself, we do the profound genuflection at the beginning, at the end of Mass, and then when the altar is being dressed during the sacred liturgy, we can give a waist bow. But, you know, it's important to genuflect if you pass in front of the Blessed Sacrament, because we're signifying in that genuflection, or at least a waist bow, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity, his two natures, human and divine, subsisting in his one divine personage in sacramental form in the consecrated host. And that's very important. So I would phrase it in the positive, again, privately and charitably. And the third element that St. Thomas gives us is that it should be done rarely. You know, you shouldn't take the baseball bat method and beat the person up with every single time you see them, you bring this up to them. That wouldn't be healthy either. But privately, charitably, and rarely, we approach the person about the thing. And we want to be positive. We want to be encouraging. We want to be charitable. So something along the lines of, I just want to encourage you, Father, to do this. And you'll be sending him a clear message that's very charitable, that you've noticed he's not doing that. And also say, you know, Father, I realize you're busy. And but the time you take to genuflect or to acknowledge our Lord's real presence is so powerful for your people, so powerful for your flock. And we want that leadership in you. We want that fatherly leadership in you. So hopefully that helps you out. Mary, thank you so much for your call from Ontario today. God bless you.
Terry is it? Oops. Thank you, Mary. Terry is in New Orleans, Louisiana, listening on Catholic Community Media. Terry, you're on with Father Wade.
Hey, Father Wade, it's nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Terry.
It's so fun. I was about to chicken out and hang up. That's just a minor confession. But anyway, I'm in New Orleans. I just wanted, I'm a huge fan of Padre Pio, but I grew up basically with Padre Pio and Padre Pio stories. And what I was telling the gentleman that I spoke to before was there was a time in my life when I had married my high school sweetheart, first divorce in a Catholic family in New Orleans. And my parents wanted to take me to Medjugorje, my mother, huge Catholic mother of the year in New Orleans. And I dutifully said no, that I loved them and this was their faith, but I just didn't know anymore. And I sort of left the practice of faith, even though as a child I would go, I love my dad. I was close to him, went to Mass with him, even in early mornings when it was Latin and the church was dark and I was like in first and second grade. So I lost that faith for so many reasons in my life. Believed in a God who didn't really believe in me was hard to do. And so anyway, long story short, because I know you're busy, my parents asked me to go to Medjugorje with them. And I dutifully said to them, I'm one of six kids. Please take someone else. You know, this is not my thing anymore. And I'm not going to do it. And my dad is 6'3" and I'm not. And he looked down his finger at me and said, I had my conversion on an altar with Padre Pio. You're going to get yours. The backside story to that is my dad was a young GI stationed in Foggia, Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Huge Catholic family. All of them they got time off and they went in to see Padre Pio, but the war had just ended, right? World War II. And so all of the Italians, when they saw him in uniform, even though the church was packed, they kept pushing them forward and through the crowds because they were so grateful that the war had ended, that they ended up on the altar with Padre Pio. And actually, Padre Pio prayed over all of them, right? And my dad had the blood of Padre Pio on his head, which is always a story he told us. But
right.
Padre Pio just doesn't stop there, right? So for generations, Padre Pio has gotten all of us where we're supposed to be, including the most rebellious of the
there
proud
you have
me.
It.
And I've been leading pilgrimages for 38 years to Medjugorje, which is funny. And some, because we also help kids raise their trips in New Orleans, people who wouldn't otherwise be able to go. It can't be Our Lady if only the wealthy can go, right? And Our Lady has held true to that. But I've been to Petrocina twice. We've gone to see Padre Pio because I figure if they're going to go, these kids that never get a chance to go, we're going to go more than one holy place. Since everybody knows the biggest, you know, cost to this is the flight.
That's right. That's right. And it's well worth the effort. You state here that your dad, which you already mentioned, was in World War II, and he saw Padre Pio along with his fellow soldiers, and that Padre Pio treated them as a group like heroes. And I think that says a lot about the man and his respect for soldiers. And then he went ahead and prayed over the group of soldiers. That's a very beautiful thing, too. So it's great, Terry, that your dad looked down on you with his index finger and kind of pointed at you. That, you know, when you said that, I'm telling you, that's a dad who cares for his kids. That's the Saint Joseph of the household right there. That's the Christ figure of the household right there. That's the priest figure of the home right there. A husband and father who cares when he told you, look, I've got my conversion in place. You're going to go and you're going to go get your conversion. And 38 years later, you're still leading pilgrimages. So what a great witness. Terry, thank you so much for a fantastic phone call today and a great statement. Thank you.
Next up is Deacon Doug in the great state of Iowa, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Deacon, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi. I met you last week, Jack. We were at City.
Oh, beautiful.
Anyway, Sorry, I'm in a real hurry. I got to go drive school bus. About 10 years ago, my wife got an email from her cousin, and the email said that my wife, Aunt Catherine, was dying of E. coli, and the doctors were giving up, and they wanted to unplug her. This was on a Saturday. Hmm. My wife and I had been reading a book about Padre Pio, and so she prayed to Padre Pio for his intercession. And the next morning, she went out to walk the dog, and it was zero outside, and she smelled flowers. And so she told her cousin in an email a little bit about Padre Pio and that she had prayed to him. And she says, hold on to your faith. I believe your miracle's coming. And by the end of the week, her Aunt Catherine was out of the hospital.
Wow. Praise God. Praise God. You know, Padre Pio's blown up the phones today, Jack. He's blown up the phone lines with a lot of great witness calls about healings and being there and curings from addictions and so forth. So Deacon Doug, thank you so much. Do you want to give a shout out to your diocese?
What's that?
Do you want to give a shout-out to your diocese, Deacon Doug?
Oh, we are at Sioux City Diocese.
All right. Great. Great. Fantastic. Thank you so much for your call today. We really appreciate it.
And really quickly, we'll head to Richard, also in the great state of Iowa, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Just about a minute left, Richard. What's your story?
Well, my devotion isn't to Padre Pio, but it's to St. Dimphna.
Oh, beautiful. Wonderful.
My wife was diagnosed with depression about a year into our marriage, and we went through some rather rough times because of her condition and some of the other things that were going on between us. And we were on a family road trip, and I noticed a billboard on along the side of the highway in Gary, outside of Gary, Indiana. It was a huge billboard to St. Dimphna.
Well, Richard, we want to thank you for your call. That's all we got today as far as time goes, but thank you so much for your call and your witness about St. Dimphna, and we got that earlier call about St. Francis of Assisi as well, so we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Thank you.
Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
I certainly will, Jack. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Open Line Tuesday listeners and remain with each and every one of you this day and always. St. Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray for us. On behalf of our host, Father Wade Menezes, our producer, Charles Beery, our call screener, Matt Kubensky, and our social media maven, Mr. Ace McKay. I'm Jack Williams with a little assistance from Tom Price at the beginning of the program. Thanking you so much for tuning in. We're back at it tomorrow with Father Mitch. Until then, God bless.